Good morning, everyone. I'm Andrew Pardo. I'm a program manager on the .NET Runtime. I'm going to talk about performance and diagnostics in VS 2013 today, of course, with a bias towards the .NET Runtime, so forgive me for that. So what we're going to talk about today is Visual Studio's emphasis on delivering continuous value, and especially in performance and diagnostics. And then we'll go over a few diagnostics features that are new in Visual Studio 2013. The Performance and Diagnostics Hub is it's not just a new feature, it's really an example of the new direction that we're taking with diagnostics in Visual Studio. 64-bit editing continue, as Immo mentioned during the keynote, it comes only 8 years late, but we're all happy to see it. The ability to see method return values, I will demo that as well. Async debugging in both C++, which is very much like JavaScript to a guy like me, and C#. What I mean by that is that JavaScript and C++ both have a native pattern of async calls. And then .NET memory analysis. We're doing a dump-based memory analysis now, which is quite nice. So let's start with Visual Studio 2012 and beyond. So one of the things that we've done with Visual Studio 2012, the last release, is to focus on delivering a continuous innovation. So as you know, Visual Studio 2012 was released on September 12th of 2012, appropriately. Since then, we've had three updates release, once every about 3 months. And the last update, the RC, was released on October 7th, so we should be seeing that sometime soon. Now, Visual Studio 2013 is also releasing just about now. The question is, why are we doing this? There's always been a push in Visual Studio for the three-year release cycle, and that we have to get big features done in 3 years. And if they don't fit the schedule, we can't ship them. And the diagnostics team was one of the teams that complained about this the most, because they had all of their work has a lot of interaction between the platforms, Visual Studio, the runtimes, the languages. So they often had trouble fitting their features into everybody else's release schedule. Because if you think about it, the .NET team is going to be developing with the managed languages team async. And we're going to push up until the last day. Actually, we start the last week before we have to ship. You know, we generally don't spend much of our time doing things in advance. And so we don't have any time to really work on the debugging of async until the feature is finished. And so because we're now doing these continuous updates, the Visual Studio Diagnostics team, the Application Lifecycles Tools team, to be precise, is able to ship updates every 3 months and get the features in that couldn't make the big releases. So what's new in VS 2013? As I mentioned earlier, the Performance and Diagnostics Hub, this is really a place to bring together all of the performance and diagnostics tools inside of Visual Studio. There are some new tools in there. There's the energy consumption tool for Windows Store apps, which is just so cool I'm going to demo it, even though I'm told this is mostly an enterprise audience. It's an awesome feature. The UI responsiveness tools for both XAML and HTML UI, and the JavaScript memory tool. Then there are some VS 2012 tools which have been brought into the P&D hub, CPU sampling, the JavaScript tools that were there, and the performance wizard. New .NET features, async debugging. Async debugging, you see, goes across all three language stacks. We made really great improvements in async debugging. I don't know if you've used it in Visual Studio 2012, it was usable, would be a charitable word for it. There are problems where people will frequently ask, what's happening? How did I get here? And in Visual Studio 2012, you couldn't answer those questions very well. We've got the memory dump analysis that I'll show you, as well as the top two customer requests, the edit, continue, the manage return value. In C++ and in .NET, we have better views of the static code analysis, the filtering and sorting and categorization functions. As we add more and more rules to static code analysis, and as teams add their own rules, trying to keep track of what was happening becomes more difficult. So This seems like just a checkbox feature, but it really is something that you'll find yourself using more and more as you use static analysis. In C++ and in JavaScript, we've gotten interop debugging working nicely, which is something that was sorely missed by those of you who wrote the JavaScript C++ hybrid apps for the Windows Store. In C++, we did Just My Code. Just My Code is a feature that's been in .NET debugging for years, where if you don't want to read Emo's code from the .NET ecosystem, if you don't want to read the library code as you're debugging through it, you can say Just My Code, and the debugger will just show you the code that you've written, so you don't have to walk all the way through the two strings of every single library function that you're calling on your stack. I would say they're leaf functions, they wouldn't really be on your stack, but you don't have to walk through the library code in your call stack. Native visualizer improvements. So in C++, you've always been able to change the way that the debugger displays your native structures. So if you think about it in a .NET app, if you have a structure and you want it to look a certain way in the debugger, you just write a two-string method for it, and then the two-string tells everything that's using it, hey, how do I display this? And so native visualizers in C++ are kind of the same thing from the user's point of view, but from the runtime's point of view, the C runtime in this case, they're a very different thing, specifically because the C++ debugger cannot execute code while debugging. So there's no way to actually call a two-string method. And so native visualizers are a declarative syntax, they're specified in XML, that allow you to say how a native structure should be displayed in the debugger. And I won't go into that much more than that, but the feature exists. There were a bunch of improvements for VS 2013. You can ask me afterward or look up at the Application Lifecycle Tools blog for more information on that. CPU sampling into profile-guided optimization code. Speaking as someone who was on the C++ team 7 years ago, if you are writing C++ code, any large C++ projects, and you're not using POGO, profile-guided optimizations, you're missing out. It really is an amazing technology. PGO, you run through your app in a profiler, and the POGO tools collect your call graphs and your data flow. It then reoptimizes your apps with knowledge. It does link time code gen optimization, so it does whole app optimization. Instead of doing function by function like the normal C++ compiler does, module by module like the normal C++ compiler does, the link time code generation, the linker takes all of the object files and sends them to the back end, the optimizer in C++, at once. And in doing so, it enables the optimizer to look at all of the functions and do, say, inlining or call graph optimization across different modules in your code. PGO goes further in that it arranges your functions on disk the way that, I'm sorry, that tool wasn't public, but the way that Windows internal tool has done for years, sorry. PGO will arrange your functions on disk. So if the first function called, you know, you start up your app, you've got your CRT startup, you know, your W main, your T main, and then your code is running. And let's say that the next thing you do is initialize your printers. The function that initializes your printers will be laid on disk right after W main, so that as Windows loads your binary into memory, it just has to go contiguously through memory. So PGO is a wonderful, wonderful tool. You should definitely look into it if you write C++ code. Debugging why it made the optimizations it made has not been easy until Visual Studio 2013. You now have the ability to do CPU sampling that will tell you what did PGO decide to do with this particular function. Side-by-side CPU and AMP GPU debugging. I don't know if... Do any of you use AMP, the GPU language that's in? No. A somewhat new technology. This is one of these things that if it hasn't taken off in the open source world yet, it's definitely far behind for Microsoft, but it's quite powerful. It's a language that allows you to use parallel fours in your C++ code to offload work into the GPU. But given that nobody uses it, I won't discuss it much further. In JavaScript, really the async debugging and the interop debugging were the major features. NoFreeFresh attach is just one of these customer pain points where any time that you attached a debugger to a JavaScript application, it would refresh the browser, and we've gotten rid of that. There were a couple of JavaScript tools that were delivered in VS 2012 that a lot of people don't realize exists because of how they were displayed. You'll see that when I bring up the Performance and Diagnostics Hub. The JavaScript function timing tool and the JavaScript memory analysis tool. One of the things you may notice about VS 2012 is that VS 2012 was rather focused on the Windows Store, for the obvious reason that it was released concurrently with Windows 8, and Windows Store was the new big thing, and everybody was excited about writing store apps, and everybody was going JavaScript, yay. With VS 2013, there's more of a focus on enterprise and production diagnostics. Not that we're forgetting store by any means. So, the Performance and Diagnostics Hub. So, this is new in VS 2013, although it brings a lot of old functionality into it. It is the one place to find all of your performance and diagnostics in Visual Studio. It only presents the tools that are available for your project type and your language type to you. So when you launch the Performance Diagnostics Hub, as I will in a moment, you'll see all of the tools that are available for your project and none of the tools that are not. There's a fun bit, this second picture here, the Performance Wizard, where it says no launchable projects are available to profile this sampling method. This is an error that was sent in many, many user emails to the browser programmability tools team saying, why did you show me this particular tool if I can't use it on my JavaScript debugger, on my JavaScript app? Because you'll launch the Performance Wizard and it'll take you to through two or three steps on your project before it tells you, sorry, I don't work with JavaScript. That's now fixed. And then the last thing is, how many of you knew before I mentioned to you today that we actually had a JavaScript function profiler in Visual Studio 2012 or a JavaScript memory tool? No. So, okay, one. So that's two less than at build, where you would expect a far heavier JavaScript audience. Like, the entire purpose of build last year was for JavaScript. And nobody knew that we actually had these tools. Why? Because we ran out of space in our drop-down menus. So we had this little flyout that told you we had memory and UI responsiveness. So you can't be blamed for having missed the existence of these tools. This is, as I'm saying, here's three projects. We've got a C# Windows Store project, a C++ phone project, and a JavaScript Windows Store project. It shows you the tools that are available for each. In C++, you'll notice that the tool that's most commonly available is the Performance Wizard that you had in VS 2012. We are moving tools from the Performance Wizard into the Performance and Diagnostics Hub, and we're also improving the tools that are there. This is all done based on business need or perceived business need, so JavaScript and .NET are getting all the love right now, but don't worry, that will improve in the future. So, the tools that are in the Performance and Diagnostics Hub. The JavaScript memory tool helps you understand memory usage, find memory leaks. The UI responsiveness tools help you understand more or less for Windows Store apps what work is being done on the UI thread. While the UI thread is not blocking, it can still hog your CPU if you have not coded your XAML or your HTML efficiently. The energy consumption tool I will demonstrate. Then there's a few tools from Visual Studio 2012 that are brought into this. The CPU sampler is a CPU sampler. The JavaScript profiler is a function-based profiler. It collects function calls and builds a profile in that fashion. And then the Performance Wizard is just the profiler that has been in VS for a while. Works for desktop server ASP.NET. And as I said, it targets any VS project. The Performance and Diagnostics Wizard will also target executables, ASP.NET apps, desktop applications. And let me show you how that works now. So under debug, you select the performance and, oh, you're not there. If you want to come up here and look at my screen. Oh, wait, I can do this. This is not the optimal screen resolution, by the way, so I'm sorry for that. So under debug, you pick the performance and diagnostics wizard. If you look at any content that we have out right now, any of the blogs, any of the existing build talks, any of the Channel 9 talks, this was Alt-Shift-F9. Some program manager in the ALT team decided Alt-F2 was a far better choice, and so that's where this is now. So when I launch the performance and diagnostics hub, it defaults to the target of the startup project, and I'm going to do energy consumption, although you can change your target, as I said, to an ASP.NET project, any installed app. Starts my diagnostic session. It wants to destroy my machine. So this is a game where I can pop bubbles. It's all kinds of fun. Maybe I'll just play instead of... Oh, wait. Okay. Stop the collection. So the purpose of this energy profiler is you have to have specialized hardware to tell how much energy your app is using. They have devices that will measure precisely how much energy is being used by the monitor, how much memory is being used by the network, how much memory is being used by the CPU. For Windows Store, the Visual Studio team created an estimated energy consumption tool that works quite well. They use a lot of sampling that Windows provided, a lot of ETW, event tracing for Windows events, in order to understand what's actually happening on your hardware, and then they estimate the power consumption from your hardware given your device characteristics. So normally, if you're going to do this, you should be doing this on the device that you're going to be running at, your Surface, your phone, what have you. But this here, you can see that I'm not using network, so there's no blue line, but there's a, let me zoom in. There's a red line and a, is that zooming? Zoom into that. The red line is the total, the yellow line is the CPU, and then there's a baseline of display that shows you that at this particular point in this app, you had high CPU usage, not very high display usage. If the XAML were more complicated in this app, you would see that the display thread actually took a lot more power, and you may be doing something wrong in your XAML. So this is a very useful tool if you write a store app. It's fantastic to be able to do this sort of profiling without having to buy specialized hardware. No, I don't care. And then that was the energy consumption tool. Extend. Okay. So, the top customer requests. As I mentioned earlier, 64-bit edit and continue, finally here. Huge request on user voice. They are now allowed. Likewise, method return value inspection. So, in VB and in C++, VB6 and in C++, given that these were native languages, the debugger could understand what the return value of a method was just by looking at the registers. Now, this is available in .NET, where you can either look at the method return value in your autos window, or you can see it in the immediate window. And I have a code sample here. So in this, interesting. Sorry. Let me rebuild this. There we are. So here I am at the first line in my function. And you can see this is actually 64-bit, because we're going to edit as well. I'm going to step over this function doMath. And you'll notice that I've actually stepped over three functions here. do math. You've got the static int 3 returns 3. You can guess what the static int 5 does. But the return value actually gives you the value of each of these functions that I have stepped over in the autos window so that you can see without having to assign it to a local variable what the value was. And just because you had to wait so long, if I go to the doMath function, change it, set this to my next statement, which is pardon? There we are. Thank you. They've moved things around for me all the time. Yes, I was actually able to change it. Now doMath returns a negative number. One nice thing that you get with the method return values in managed code that you do not get in native code is that if you're returning an object, you can drill into your object. This is somewhat limited for structs, but it works for managed objects very well. And like I said, in the immediate window, I can put in return value and see my exploded struct. So this is quite a nice feature, both the 64-bit debugging and the 64-bit editing continue and the method return value. Sorry, I only have one machine. I did not bring another notebook with me, so I ended up with only one machine with which to demo. Async debugging. This is another feature that we had that was quite a big feature for us in 2013. So managed async, there's quite a bit of code that the compiler does for you underneath the hood. The compiler notices the await keyword, it wraps your code in a continuation function. The continuation function does a yield return to where the await was called. And normally, because the framework is filled with async calls, your code ends up calling through a number of async calls throughout your call stack. You can imagine it's very easy to get lost. We have two questions that happen all the time. How did I get here? And what's happening now? And so we have improvements in the call stack window where we do a just my code. We hide the code that was not yours so that you can tell where you came from without having to look at all of the async code that clutters up your call stack. We also duplicate the call stack onto the new thread. This is done for C++ and JavaScript, where when your new thread is started, it has no call history. We duplicate the call stack into the new thread's call stack for 10 frames up, and that's user configurable as it's a C++ feature. And you can then see what are the 10 frames before your async thread started. In the what's happening now, we have a task window that shows you which async functions in your code are currently awaiting, which ones are currently executing. In JavaScript, this is even nicer, where it shows you what functions have been completed. Given that JavaScript profiling is function-based, we are able to keep track of which functions have been executed. So I will demo the async right now. Excuse me. So in native, we'll build this project. It's quite a slow build. All right, so gosh, my code has an exception. So if I open up my call stack, you'll notice that there's a ton of code in here that I don't really know what it does. We've got things like concurrency task windows something, concurrency details, standard function implementation. I'm not sure what all these things are. And then I also have the frames that led up to this async call. You know, this started right at the beginning, so I've got all of my com-based and kernel-based calls. The key here is the call stack is added, as I had said. And if you don't know this, this is a fantastic feature, the quick find. Just my code. In C++, we actually implemented the just my code feature because we did the async work. We realized that it was still impossible to tell what was happening because there was no JMC in C++. So we implemented the just my code. Now you can see, although just my code doesn't not just work for async debugging, of course, it works for all C++ projects. Now you can see for an async call, this is abstracted away. I can expand it if I can view the external code if I'd like to show external code, which is pretty. But I don't have to look at it. Normally it's all hidden away for me. Likewise in managed, I think this is the async demo. Build, rebuild solution. This is not the, this is, yeah. Yes, this is the async app. I'm sorry, this should be breaking at an exception. All right. So demo fail, I think, is a requirement of all presentations, is it not? I'm not going to try to fix this code now. But in managed code, there's a different pattern of async. Instead of just having to copy the call tree from before, excuse me one second. Instead of just having to copy the call tree from before the thread was launched, in managed, you have the pattern of await and async and await. So where you stop your execution at one point, as I explained earlier, you create the continuation function, you return to that awaitable point. In managed, this will show you where your code, what functions are awaiting, and what functions are ready to be executing, and then where they will be returning to when the calls return. Oh, and I forgot to show you the test window, which is quite nice. I am sorry, I'm not a diagnostics person myself. Break. And debug. Tasks. So the tasks window, I want to duplicate as well. Thank you, MO. You don't like watching noise? So the tasks window is the parallel tasks window from VS 2012. We've just repurposed it as it works for all of the parallel work that was done, the concurrent runtime work that was done for C++ and managed with VS 2012. This all works for async, so there's no loss in functionality. So we just reused the exact same window, renamed it tasks as opposed to parallel tasks. This is showing you which functions are active, which functions are awaiting. As I mentioned in JavaScript, it shows you which functions have been completed, their start time, the duration that they executed. If you hover over location, it will actually show you a call stack with the just my code on of what code you executed to get to that point in the task, which is very nice. And then under the task, it tells you what the task itself is. So these are parallel library continuation tasks, which makes sense in the code if you were to see the code. And extend again. So the async debugging is far improved in Visual Studio 2013. It's at this point, you should always know where your code is and how you got to it. Excuse me, I'm a bit back in my slide deck. Production diagnostics. So as I mentioned, VS 2013, we're far more focused on production diagnostics. how we're defining production diagnostics are, there are some machines where you don't run VS servers, say, and on those you either want to use facilities that are already inside of the machine, such as ETW, to collect your diagnostics information, or you want to have something which is Xcopy installable so that you don't have to shut down your server, install something, have a bunch of custom registration registry entries, have to reboot your machine. And so production diagnostics is normally based upon two technologies, dumps and traces. Something that I'm hearing from my performance team is that people are often, they often conflate what dumps and traces do. So a bit of a refresher there. Dumps are normally used for debugging. They show the state of a program at a given point in time, which means the call stack, the sequence of calls leading to this point in the program. If you have a tree of calls in your program, a tree of possible calls, but then some of the branches return, you'll only see the straight line from main to your current point. It also shows you objects in memory that are live at any particular time. And so live here for managed code means that the object exists on the managed heap and that there is a reference to it in your code somewhere. When you have a reference that you did not realize exists, this is a memory leak. So dumps are normally used for debugging, but two dumps at which you take at separate points in time become a trace. And so the work that I'll show you in a moment is a .NET memory analyzer that requires having two dumps to use as a memory trace. Traces are used for performance analysis. Perf counters are a tracing technology. The one that we're mostly focusing on these days are event tracing for Windows. Event tracing for Windows is a facility that's built into Windows. It's a very lightweight eventing framework that when something happens in Windows, the CPU scheduler schedules this task to execute. The network comes on or off. Windows will fire an event, and if there is a listener attached, then the listener will know that this particular work was scheduled on the CPU or that this network came on. Windows opened this up for code on top of Windows to take advantage of. And so we have written what are called event tracing providers for .NET that tell us things like the GC has just allocated memory here, the GC has looked at this route and determined that it is still alive, or the GC has collected this object. We also have event tracing in the JIT and in the thread pool, and then sprinkled in various places during the runtime. So if you're having a performance problem, you'll normally want to take a trace and use one of the performance tools that analyzes ETW-based traces, either in Visual Studio or we have other tools that work outside of Visual Studio. And likewise, we have libraries such as TraceEvent, is a .NET library that our performance wizards have created, pun not intended there, that allow you to add ETW tracing to your own code. So, now that I've told you that dumps are used for debugging as opposed to performance, we have a new feature in VS 2013, .NET Memory Analysis. This is meant for production scenarios, although it works for everything. It helps to get funding if you work for the big platforms. Its purpose is that you can discover inefficient memory usage by looking at the size of your objects, the counts of your objects, and you can drill down into these object types. Its main use is to identify memory leaks by comparing two dumps at different points in time to get a discrete trace. And then you can also look at a reference graph to see what the GC believes is alive. Often it's the case where you have memory that you believe is dead, but you have a native handle that somehow you haven't freed your native code, and so it's hanging on to a bunch of stuff you didn't realize what it was hanging on to. So back to the fun shuffle, and I will now pull up a blank screen. This is an ASP.NET application, and this is noise. If you don't get outside enough, your mother tells me. Thank you. This is an ASP.NET application. It has just a small memory leak. We find IIS, Express, Worker Process. Every time I refresh this page, the memory will go up. So there's many ways to collect dumps. I have the best way to collect a dump is a batch file sitting on my system. But there are many ways to collect dumps. You can collect a dump inside of Visual Studio. There is a feature right now, or a bug in Visual Studio, where if you're trying to collect a dump on an ASP.NET process on a 64-bit machine and IIS Express is running as 32-bit, you can no longer do dumps traces on it. So I'm using a third-party tool from sysinternals called Process Dump to collect my dump. But you can collect a dump out of Task Manager if you want. You know, there's a create dump file here, and then there are facilities in Visual Studio. And as you can see, the memory is continually increasing. I'll refresh another couple times. I will grab another dump, and there we go. Back to Visual Studio. Let me find out where the dump. .NET memory analysis. OK, so in the performance wizard, which is now being launched from the performance and diagnostics hub, you can see I forgot that being a heavy VS 2012 user. There is a .NET memory allocation for this project. Oh, no, it's the performance wizard, I'm sorry. Excuse me. I'm sorry, I'm on the wrong piece. Now the performance wizard is running. Diagnostics. I am sorry on this one. I've lost my demo. On this. Open my dump file. All right, so I'll just do this the simpler way. You can open the dump file directly rather than doing it inside of your project. We will debug the managed memory. Right there. They said, I'm from the .NET team, not from the diagnostics team, and so this was a bonus session, if that's not obvious. If it's also not obvious, I'm a manager. So, although I used to write code, so I've loaded the second dump that I took of my ASP.NET project, and then I load as a baseline my first. You can see here now that we have all of our types, the size that they're taking. When I load a baseline, it instead gives me a diff of what my memory looked like from the first point in time, from the second point in time, and then using the first point in time as a baseline, what we have allocated since then. And so you'll notice that I have quite a bit of memory that has been allocated in byte. And if I look at this, I have a bunch of objects that look really like fake code, because they are meant to be a memory leak here. I would drill into my code, which is now stuck. I would drill into my code and pull up my user repository, and I would see that I'm creating a cache that I am never reusing. But the point here is not so much to fix the leak as it is just to recognize that By looking at two dump files taken at separate points in time, I'm able to identify that I have memory that seems inordinately large, drill into it, go back into my code, look at that type, and see where my leak came from. And extend. That was my last demo, so I think this is the last time that I'm going to have to push back in through there. And then. And there we are. So, anyway, takeaways, thank you. Thank you again for attending, and thank you for putting up with some of the difficulties I had in this session. As I said, this was not my area of expertise, but I know very well the underpinnings of all of these features, so I'm very happy to talk with any of you or take feedback from you or questions about it after the session. Visual Studio 2012, we've been focusing on continued improvement, the quarterly updates. You should definitely pay attention to those, install those if you are a heavy diagnostics user, because that's one of the teams that they and the TFS teams are the ones who are using the updates most frequently. As I said, we have a new, renewed focus on production diagnostics, production performance. And just like we are with .NET, we're really making deep investments across teams to solve hard problems. A number of the things that you saw there, the energy consumption tool was work that was done by the Windows Phone team, the Windows team, and the developer division teams. The async debugging work happened across .NET, C++, Windows. So a number of these features, the downside is that they only work on the latest platforms, they only work on Windows 8.1. But the upside here is that we're delivering things that require the cooperation of both the platforms and the tools teams. And then, as always, we do need to hear feedback from you. You're welcome to send me email. You're still welcome to send email as I used the slide from the last presentation. But thank you very much.